Accepting Jesus without confession of sin. Accepting Jesus. And this is rampant through the land today. Oh, I'll accept Jesus as my Savior, my friend. Is that what the Bible teaches? Is that what the Bible teaches? And we'll look at what the Bible teaches on some of these things yet. But I'd like to just ask you to consider that as a false conversion. I've tried it and it just doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me. My friend, I'm here to say if we make Jesus Christ Lord of all, it will work. It will work. If it didn't work, then it was a false conversion. No power over sin. No power over sin. Oh, I accepted Jesus, but you need to accept me how I am, just living in sin. My friend, I'd like to plead with you, if you don't have power over sin, consider it a false conversion. I don't enjoy the Christian life. It's okay. I know you have to be a Christian in order to get to heaven. But it's no big excitement to me. My friend, I'd like you to consider that as a false conversion. That's not the abundant life. And Jesus gives us the abundant life if we'll make Him Lord of all. If we'll make Him Lord of all. No assurance. No assurance. You know, the Bible says that God comes by His Spirit and He bears witness in our hearts that He has received us. And if that hasn't happened, my friend, consider it a false conversion. I don't care how good your counselor is. I don't know how care how much they walk with God and how wise they are. Our counselor cannot give us assurance, my friend. Mom and Dad cannot give us assurance. Growing up in a Christian home will not give us assurance. We need to surrender to Jesus Christ completely as Lord of all and let Him take control of our lives and let Him give us assurance. And if that happens, nobody can talk you out of it. I'm not involved in the work of God. I'm just disinterested. That, you know, some people are called to that. Aren't we all called? Aren't we all called? Actually, we're called to be predestinated into the image of His Son. And if we name the name of Jesus, we're called to give Him Lord, make Him Lord of all. If I'm not interested in the work of God, something is badly wrong. Look at it. Maybe it's a false conversion. No fellowship or love for God's people. Oh, I'm a Christian. But sitting down and just talking about the Bible and conversing and rejoicing in the goodness of God is, it's sort of uncomfortable. My friend, the Bible says if we don't love those kind of things, back in John it says it very clearly, we're not walking in the light. We don't love God's people, we don't love Him, no matter how hard we try to say we do. Consider it a false conversion. No love for the Bible or unable to understand the Bible. Oh, God's Word is a treasure, is a lamp for our feet. It's a little bit like a black man. He had this clock that didn't work. And he took the hands off and he took it to a man to fix it, the clock man. And he told him, these hands don't want to go anymore. I can get them going and they won't go any longer than 6 months. And the watchman looked at him and said, well, where's the clock? And the man told him, well, I told you it's the hands. The hands won't go. The only reason you want the clock is so you can tinker with it and send me a big bill. Sounds almost comical. How often do we come to God with the hands? Here, Lord, fix this. And God says, where's the clock? Where's the heart? Where's the center of the problem? Will you bring that to me? Are we saying, Lord, I want to bring you the hands because the bill is too big if I bring you the roots? And the bill is giving up ourselves, giving up my will, surrendering my life completely to Him and make Him Lord of my life. That's the bill. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. You know, we can claim to be Christians, but if we're living in sin, we're not of God. We're not of God. We cannot live in sin and serve Jesus with all of our hearts. Secondly, I'd like to look at all have sinned. All have sinned. There's a couple of verses I'd like to read. Romans 5, verse 19, and then I'm going to read a few in Romans 13. For as by one man's disobedience, that is Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Adam sinned in the beginning, and the Bible tells us that we have all become sinners because we're descendants of Adam. In one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Romans chapter 3, verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. How many of us in this room are left after that? Not one, right? The Bible also says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There'd be a lot more verses we could quote, but for the sake of time this morning, I'm not going to do that. All have sinned. All have sinned. We have all sinned. We have all failed. I'm standing here as a man before you this morning that is subject to fail today if I do something in the flesh. Therefore, it becomes an awesome thing to walk with the living God. I want a heart passion to make Him Lord of all so I can be free from sin. And whenever sin comes up, I deal with it right away. All have sinned. Well, sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from God. So what are we going to do? I'm separated from God. So thirdly, I'd like to look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. The people were listening to people, Peter preach, and they were convicted, they were pricked in their hearts, they wondered, what shall we do? We have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, which God has made Lord and Christ. We have crucified Him. We are sinners. We are undone. What shall we do, Peter? Apostles, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'd like to get the word repent here. Repent. Repent. In order to help us understand repent a little bit, I'd like you to think about the prodigal son. He said, Dad, I want my inheritance. Give me that portion which is mine to have. And his father did. He packed up his bags not many days after and he left. And he went out and he lived it up. He had many friends, had all kinds of parties. He lived in sin and ungodliness and filth of the flesh. Served himself. And then the money ran out. He ended up in the pig pen. And it says he came to his senses. And he realized how lost he was, how foolish he was, how ungodly he was, and how he's messed up his life. And he said, I know what I'll do. I'm going to go back home to my father and ask him to be one of his servants. He was walking away from his Father, serving the flesh, serving sin, fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And he decided, I'm going to go home and I'm going to serve my Father. There is a Father in heaven that is our Father, whether we serve Him or not. He is our Father. And if we're walking away from Him, living in sin, living in ungodliness, not yielding ourselves to Him, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, living in rebellion, living my own way, maybe half cleaned out, it's time to repent and turn around and say, I'm going to serve my Father. You know, He didn't just sit there in the pig pen waiting for the Father to come find Him. You know, if Dad came and got me, I'd be very glad to go home with Him. He said, I'm going home to my Father. I'm going home to my Father. Repentance is saying, I am a sinner. I am ungodly. I am unrighteous and unholy. I need to get up and go home to my Father. I don't come like I deserve to be a son. I come like a humble servant. Could I just be one of your servants, Lord? He came home in the frame of mind, oh, wretched man that I am. Dad, I need your forgiveness. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Today the message is, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord. Lord. Jesus, Lord of all. Jesus, Lord of all. When we accept Jesus, we're accepting Him on our terms. When we kneel in repentance, desperate, heavy-hearted, troubled, crying out to God, then we meet God on God's terms. And my friend, that's when we get the clear heart that is overflowing. That's when we get that. Number four, confession of sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of it. It's all gone. I didn't ask anybody whether I could give you a drink, but I think I could probably find a volunteer now. That's the kind of heart Jesus wants. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't just get the stones out. Gets all the grime that was with it too. He wants to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Proverbs 28:13 says, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. He that puts the label Jesus on it and just wants to keep going or tries to put his hands around it and protect it so nobody sees it. The Bible says if we do that, we're not going to prosper. Life will not come out as an abundant Christian life that way. We'll never get anywhere with Jesus. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And my friend, we need the mercy of God because God is a holy, just, and righteous God that will have nothing to do with sin to the point that He deserted His own Son on the cross when He took our sins upon Him. His beloved Son, He forsook Him because of sin. We need the mercy of God, but if we'll come repenting and confessing our sins and just being open. Get it all out. Pour it out without reserve. The Bible says we shall have mercy. And we all need mercy. If God would require and exact of me that which I deserve, I'm damned without a shadow of a doubt. Number five, believing. And I'm going to use a familiar verse again. And I want you to get the idea here. It's not some stuck away thing that is difficult. The gospel is simple. Lordship salvation is plain and clear, and it's right there for us to see. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we've seen some clear scriptures, familiar scriptures, that say we need to repent, we need to confess our sin. Now He's telling us we need to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. The Bible also tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. On the cross, God forsook His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of our sin, and then in that condition He did what? Shed His blood. Why? To pay for our sin. To pay for our sin. Now, here I am. I'm a sinner. And I see that. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need to repent. I need to just open it all up and pour it out. And then I need to believe in Jesus and in the blood that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of my sin. And we can't say, here, let me scrub a bunch of it up and then You do the rest, Lord. We need to come to Jesus as we are and just dump that whole thing out without reserve. I have sinned. I have pride in my heart. I'm a liar. I'm a fornicator. I'm rebellious. Lord, I'm a wretch. But would You please forgive me? The Bible says if we will confess our sins and just come out with it and not cover them, we can have that blessing of mercy on our lives where God's heart is moved. He says, oh, my dear young soul, yes, I will. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. Hallelujah! I tell you, it's the best answer in life. And Jesus is that answer. Jesus is that answer. The prodigal son, he said, I'm going home to Dad, and I'm going to confess my sin. And he went home, and he said, Father, I have sinned before You and heaven. I've sinned greatly. I'm not worthy to be Your son. I'm a wretched man that I am. How can You forgive me? But would You just let me be a servant? And what happened to that father? His heart was moved. His heart was stirred. He said, yes, son, I will. And He took him back as a son, didn't He? Number six, regeneration. Regeneration. An Italian woman whose husband had accepted the gospel and joined a Protestant church was asked, is it true that your husband has changed his religion? No, answered she, but his religion has changed him. Formerly he had no religion, but now he has accepted the one that must be very good because it has changed him so. You must have noticed that he does not get drunk anymore. Here's a rebel, debauched, wretched man, and the gospel changed him all the way. Changed him completely because he came and surrendered all to Jesus. And my friend, it's here for each one of us today. If you came troubled to Bible school today, you do not need to leave that way today. You can be changed. You can be changed. I'd like to turn to Titus chapter 3. It's Starting in verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful, and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Here He's called Savior. What does He want to do as Savior? He wants to regenerate us. He wants to regenerate us from these old things. Not by our own works, but according to His mercy He saved us. And how did He save us? But by the washing of regeneration, taking a heart from being filthy and dirty and full of stones and hard to being clear and clean and overflowing. Regeneration. The word regeneration means spiritual rebirth. Spiritual rebirth. It's redone. You must be born again, the Bible says. You must be born again. It's rebirth. Coming from darkness to light. Major change. Not some little thing. It also means spiritual renovation. Spiritual renovation. I don't know how many of you have any idea what this building looked like. There's a few here that do. I remember. This place has been renovated majorly. Majorly. That's what God wants to do in our hearts and lives. He wants to renovate us majorly from darkness to light, from filth to clean, from sin to righteousness. It's a total change. He wants to regenerate it. And if we'll come to Him like a prodigal son that says, I am not worthy, I'm a wretched, miserable soul, would you have mercy on me? Then God by Spirit wants to regenerate it. Regenerate it. Repentance is tearing down the old. Regeneration is Christ rebuilding the new. Another meaning for regeneration is Masonic restoration, or Messianic restoration, meaning Jesus restoring us. That's what He wants to do. Give us a restoration from that sin-cursed position we were in to being sons of the Father in heaven. Now, number 7, I'd like you to turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 30. Number 7, love with all. If we're going to make Jesus Lord of all, then we need to love with all. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Young people, if we're going to make Jesus Lord of all, then we're going to give Him our mind. Everything I think needs to fit what Jesus would think. Everything that I ponder in my mind needs to think what Jesus would approve of. Needs to fit into the purity of the gospel. I need to give Him my eyes. Jesus, Lord of all, I'm going to love Him with my mind. I'm going to love Him with my eyes. I'm going to love Him with my ears. I'm going to love Him with my tongue. I'm going to love Him with all of my mind. I'm going to love Him with all of my heart. All the passions that burn in my soul are for Jesus. Oh, to set that kind of a standard in our youth, my friend. Every passion that burns in my heart is for Jesus. Not for self. Not for self. Not for the world. Not for my friend. But it's for Jesus. Everything I do with my hands needs to be for Jesus. Maybe it's watching the sheep for Dad. But it needs to be for Jesus. We could be out there doing it, being disgruntled and gripe that I need to do it, or we can do it for Jesus. The strength of my arms needs to be for Jesus. I need to take my shoulder and put it to the plow of Jesus. Let Him have the effect of putting my weight in there. Let Him have my strength. Give it all to Jesus. Love with all my mind, with all my heart, with all my strength, with all my mind, with might, with all my soul. That's that inner being that makes us tick. With everything I have, with all of my feet, everywhere I go, needs to be dedicated to Jesus. And the things we do in life will change totally if we can do that. Now I'd like to read just a couple more verses. Luke chapter 14, verse 26 and 27, as we look at this whole thing of setting a standard in our lives, of Jesus being a standard of lordship in our lives. And then I'd just like to read Luke chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And it's very clearly giving the message that Jesus is either Lord of all or not Lord at all. The question today is, where do we find ourselves today? Is Jesus Lord of all? Do I have reserves in my heart that I don't want to give Him? We all know where we are. Is He Lord of all? Is He? If He is, let's keep that there and set it as a standard for life. If He's not, my friend, I plead with you, give Him everything. Give Him everything. All the affections, dreams, plans, and wishes. Give Him everything and make it a standard in your life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, this morning, You're so special, You're so sweet. It's Your sweet presence that we yearn for. It's living in the center of Your will that we are reaching for. Let that be reality in our hearts. Lord, search us today. See whether there be some hard stones in our lives, whether there be some filth and some dirt. Search us, Lord, and see whether there be reserves that we're holding back, special spots in our lives that we won't let You in or anyone else. God, would You send Your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to convict us if that's the case. God, we pray this morning for every soul in this place, that they could be free indeed to serve Jesus as Lord of all. We lay that before You, committing it to You, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless all of you.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.